Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And as my loyal listeners can tell, my voice is not at 100% today. I do have a bit of a chest cold. However, the show must go on, so I will continue to bring you the best show that I can. We've got a wonderful guest today, and we will carry on forward. But please just, I beg your indulgence, as my voice is not as strong as it usually is. So let me start off with my blog so I can get to introducing my guest. My blog today is entitled Connection and Community Are the Antidote to Violence. What is the cause of violence? Why do people hurt each other? The answer is not so simple, for it is not about the action. We sometimes think that if someone hurts a person with a gun, the answer is to get rid of the gun. And while not making guns easy to obtain may help, that is only part of the answer. For if someone is truly set on hurting another, they will find something else to use instead. The answer lies not in focusing on the symptom, the act of violence. It lies in the underlying motivation of the person. Why do they want to hurt someone? What is it that is causing them to commit such an act? Yes, hurt people do hurt people. Yet there is more to it than just that. For happy people do not hurt people. Content people do not hurt people. Satisfied people do not hurt people. And most of all, people who are connected to people do not hurt people. What causes most of the violence in the world? It comes from a profound lack of connection with oneself and others, from the unrecognized and unprocessed pain and sadness one experiences in life. For when we are hurt and angry and sad and have no way to deal with it, we lash out. Sometimes all it takes is to have one good friend to talk to, or a community that we feel safe enough in to share our pain. Maybe even a loved one who we know is there for us in our time of grief. Yet when we have no one to turn to, no one to listen to us, no one to help us, we feel trapped. We are trapped by our own internal struggle. And the only thing we can imagine that will help us feel better is to inflict the same pain onto someone else. Of course, that doesn't help. Inflicting pain onto someone else only creates more pain. And that is when we choose to end ourselves, because we can see no way to find relief. The real challenge in our world is to find a way to help people from ever getting to that point, to find a way to come together, even in our alienation, to learn how many other people feel the exact same way. Connection and community are the antidote. Yet connection and community can only be formed when we are learning to connect with ourselves, when we stop running away from how we feel, when we know that there really is someone out there who cares. The cure for violence is the same cure for everything. It is love, pure and simple. And when we learn to truly love each other, we will care about each other. And when we care about each other, we connect with each other, then no one has to feel alone and isolated. Instead of acting out of pain, we can cry and release the sadness that underlies it. When we all feel safe enough to cry, we will stop hurting each other. Do you feel isolated and alone? Are you running away from your pain? Can you find someone, anyone, you feel safe enough to talk to about it? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago, and it was after one of the mass shootings, which in this country are becoming all too common. And it's really such a polarizing subject, because a lot of people will point to, well, we need more gun legislation. And I agree, like, there's no need to carry such a deadly weapon around. But that's not really getting to the cause. That's focusing on the symptom. And it's what we do in society in general, at least in this society here in the United States. We spend way too much time focusing on symptoms, focusing on what's right in front of us that we can legislate some way around it, instead of really looking at the true cause, what's underneath the symptom. And inevitably with violence, unless it's being committed by somebody who is truly mentally ill. But even if they are mentally ill, you got to ask the question, how did they become mentally ill? It's usually not all genetics. There's always an environmental component to it. So again, it comes down to what is the underlying cause of violence. And it's always the same. At least I've found it's always the same. It is a lack of being able to deal with deep pain. I mean, we've seen the stories, they've made them all into Hollywood movies, of these crazy serial killers and what awful childhoods they have. Rarely, I don't think I've ever heard any story where somebody did something so horrible that came from a truly loving family and loving environment where there was no abuse and no pain. So if we want to stop the senseless violence that's happening all over our world, it's not about putting up walls, barbed wire fences, and taking away all different kinds of things. You know, a gun happens to be a very efficient machine for inflicting pain. But if someone doesn't have access to a gun, they'll use a hammer. They'll use something else. If they're really intent on causing pain and violence, they will find a way to do it. This doesn't mean we should make it easy for them to get a hold of something that they can use to inflict pain on a large number of people easily. Of course not. But what it does mean is, if we focus on the real issue, on what's really causing them to become the kind of person who would do something like that. That is a much more powerful way of approaching the issue and the challenge. And I just wonder, I really wonder, what kind of world would we be living in if we really looked at issues like violence from that perspective? How would we show up differently? And it doesn't matter whether we're a politician or a housewife or a middle manager in some corporation or an entrepreneur or a busboy or an Uber driver. It doesn't matter what we do for a living. What matters is, how do we show up as a human being in whatever role we have? And if we all just show up a little bit more compassionately, a little bit more consciously in everything we do, from how we raise our children to how we treat strangers on the street to how we treat the homeless, we just showed up with more concern, I wonder how different the world could be. So yeah, in my opinion, it's connection and community that are the antidote to violence. I'll be curious to know what you think. So please feel free to comment on the live stream. Of course, you can always send me an email at sam@theconsciousconsultant.com. And that's my blog post for this week, which you can always find my blog both at talkradio.nyc/blog, as well as on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. So, all righty. Hope that means something to you. So now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show certified EFT practitioner, positive psychology coach, NLP master, and hypnotherapist, Karen Stultz. Karen grew up being a people pleaser, a self-doubter, filled with regret, anxiety, resentment, who was very unhappy. For years, Karen studied and became certified in most areas of coaching. She learned that coaching, although awesome, didn't work well when someone was in pain, emotional or physical, and felt that there had to be faster ways to feel better. Being an out-of-the-box kind of person, Karen took parts of everything she learned and put them into an awesome life success system and heart energy techniques to feel better both emotionally and physically and move forward with joy. She calls her system the Heart Energy Techniques, or HET for short. With her awesome life success system, service-based, heart-centered solopreneurs eliminate anxiety, guilt, and regret around money and create a path to achieve and live the lifestyle they want. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. I can't even express how happy I am to be here with you again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Quick shout out to loyal listener Patty. I see she's listening on the live stream. So Karen, you know what? I wanted you to kind of, you know, give the audience a little bit of your background and stuff. But before we do that, let's take a quick break. And so when we come back, we'll have plenty of time. And so when we come back from break, I'd love for you to just talk about what motivated you to get into this work? You know, how did you decide to study all of these different modalities, become a coach and a mentor to people? And what was it that really brought you to that place? Okay.
Oh, I'd be happy to share that. Do you have about, 7 or 8 hours?
We'll take the Reader's Digest condensed version of that, okay?
Sounds good.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Karen Stultz, and we will be right back in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Karen. So Karen, I would love to hear, like, how did you start to get into all this stuff, learning about healing and coaching and all these different modalities? What was it that kind of got you started on this path?
Thanks so much, Sam. Actually, you know, it is, I didn't grow up this way. I did not feel, I felt like everything was inside of us and it was up to us. We were responsible people and we needed to learn, and you know, all this other stuff is just woo-woo. That's all there is to it. And I didn't, you know, discount it. I just didn't care. And when I was around 50, I left my home, my husband, my job, and moved in with my parents to take care of them. That was not leaving for good. There was no anger or anything involved. As a matter of fact, I went to my husband and I said, look, I've done some soul searching. My parents would have to go into a nursing home, which was something I could not live with. It was simply me. I could not live that way. With the idea that my parents, who had been married for 68 years, might be in a nursing home, separated. So I said, all right, the only option is to have me leave my home in Maine and my husband and move into their home in another state. And I told my husband, I hope you'll stay with me, but at this moment in time, this is what I have to do so I can live without regret. And thank goodness he did stay with me. So it's all good. But in any case, I moved in with them and I saw my mom, who had been very positive, irritatingly positive, to the point that her kids could do no wrong. She painted a pretty picture. Her family was perfect. And I'm saying, no, that's not the case. So I kind of discounted a lot. And I saw her now in her final years, living with a lot of anger, a lot of regret, a lot of resentment. And I thought, no, this is not the way to live. You don't want to die with a lot of anger and resentment. And what can I do? And I realized that if I didn't do something and I didn't do something right away, that I was going to be the same way. Because my husband had retired. I was living with my parents. And I knew that when I went back home with my husband retired, if I went back to a job, I would have a lot of anger and resentment and frustration. I'd call up my husband and say, how are you doing? Oh, this is great. We're out having a good time out on the deck by the lake, enjoying each other's company with friends. And I'm saying, and I'm here with my parents in another state. All right. Yes, I would live with a lot of resentment and regret. So something had to change. And I'm not a religious person by any means, but I remember it totally where I just sat down in the living room of my parents' house and started crying. And I said, I don't know what I can do. I'm not a trained caregiver. I know nothing. I'm just doing the best I can, but I cannot live with regret and die with regret. I have to do something, but what? And then I sucked it up and said, okay, I can't sit here crying. I have two people in their 90s that I have to care for. So, you know, deal with it. And I look down and I open up a magazine, just open it up. And there in the magazine was the next big thing in employment, so to speak, was coaching. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting. And guess what? I can do it online. I can learn online and get certified. And this is at the time of dial-up internet. So it was this is back in 2001. And I said, okay, so I can do that. If nothing else, if I do nothing else, I need to find out what is going on inside of me so that I can be happy and feel good. So that's where it started. And then the universe the next day, we're watching the Today Show. And guess what? The father of coaching is being interviewed on the Today Show. And it happened to be the school that I was looking at the day before. And I thought, all right, this is a sign. This is a sign. I need to look at this a little bit more closely. And coaching was wonderful. I knew I didn't need psychiatry. I did not need years of therapy. I didn't believe that it took years of therapy. I wanted to be able to do things more quickly, more easily, more gently. And if that meant a long time, okay, but incremental steps. So after the coaching, and I got certified in all realms of coaching, and I thought, coaching is great. This is wonderful. Instead of 20 or 40 years, I can get the same result in a couple of years. But dang it, I am not feeling all that grand right now. And if I'm not feeling good right now, I am not making the best of all of my learnings. I can't take it in because I'm hurting. So what else can I do that is a little bit faster, a little bit easier, a little bit gentler to feel good without taking drugs without taking antidepressants and tranquilizers and things. And so I started researching there and found EFT. And then I learned about a school of hypnotherapy that I could, it was great. It was the first accredited college of hypnotherapy in the country. That's where I got my degree and went into EFT and then into neuro-linguistic programming and became a master there and just started searching out whatever I could find.
So how long was that process from when you saw that first article about coaching till you got all these certifications?
Oh, I got lots of certifications, but I was still working.
Yeah.
I was still working on myself. It is a lifelong process. So my philosophy is when you stop learning, you start to die.
Yeah, I agree.
You stop growing and then it's all over. So yeah. I'm still learning and improving along the way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2018 though that it all clicked.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
No, because I'm just curious in terms of the timeline. Like you're getting all these certifications, you're learning about pro coaching, EFT, NLP, and what was happening with your parents at that same time? Like, were they continuing to decline? Was it getting more difficult? Like, I just wanted to see the juxtaposition of you're learning all this stuff, but you're still having to deal with your aging parents.
It was only 4 years with my parents. A total of 5 years, but 2000, I moved over with them in 2000, and then 2001, I started this process.
Right.
And it allowed me to be more calm with them and find ways of toning down. One of the life-saving mantras that I was taught by Thomas Leonard, who was the father of coaching, supposedly. He was asked one time, "What do you do with a difficult coaching client?" And his answer was, "Well, just remember, at this moment in time, they're doing the best they can. And this moment in time is all we have." Mm-hmm. That's all we have. So at this moment in time, they're doing the best they can. So I turned it around for me so that I could forgive myself. I could find more peace and recognize that when I started losing it with my folks, I'd say, "Karen, don't beat yourself up. You're doing the best you can at this moment in time, even if it's clear that you're not." And that was the second part of what Thomas Leonard said. Even if it, at this moment in time, they're doing the best they can, even if it's clear that they're not.
Mm.
So I turned that to me and said, "Okay, now I have a choice. Now I have a choice. I can continue being upset with myself, being upset with others, or I can say at this moment in time, they're doing the best they can. And now we have a choice. How are we going to change?" And we always have choice. So it really helped me take care of my folks a little bit better. Did I lose it? Oh, yeah. Did the frustration level get really high? Oh, yes. And so that's when I started looking into positive psychology.
Gotcha.
And other things that I can say, "All right, Karen, they are doing the best they can. Be gentle. Be kind." And all you can do is do the best that you can to help them on their journey.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay. So, of course, I have a bunch of follow-up questions to that, but we do have to take another break. So when we come back, I'd love to hear when you decided to sort of make that switch from using all this stuff just to help yourself to using it to help other people?
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here.
While many investors chase a tech boom that has yet to fully materialize, and major indexes already flirt with record highs, it feels like we're running out of those under-the-radar opportunities with the potential to elevate your overall portfolio. But with Masterworks Advisors, you can diversify your investment portfolio beyond stocks and bonds and into blue-chip contemporary art. It's an asset class that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 28 years by 64%, and the process doesn't require millions or art expertise. In fact, over the same period, art investing has been an effective way to reduce volatility in a portfolio relative to rate of return. So schedule a call with Masterworks Advisors at masterworks.com/skip. That's masterworks.com/skip. This advertisement relates to the provision of advisory services by Masterworks Advisors, LLC, and is not intended to offer or solicit investment in any securities. Masterworks Advisors is affiliated with Masterworks.
TalkRadio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Karen Stultz, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on TalkRadio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on TalkRadio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So, Karen, so you learned all this stuff, and I kind of relate because it was a similar thing. I learned a lot of healing techniques. Initially, it was for my own healing, not that I ever thought in a million years I would use it to help other people. But then there was that one workshop where, you know, you learn some new technique and you get paired up with someone else who's in the workshop and you work together. And I helped this woman to release a condition she had from the time she was a child. And the light bulb went off and it was like, oh, I can use this not just for myself, but to help other people. And so I'm curious, what was that moment for you? When did you decide that, oh, this isn't just to help me deal with my parents? I can use all this stuff to help other people.
Well, actually, I thought that almost immediately, because with the coaching, that is, with the coaching, I thought this will be my new realm. Yeah. And thank you for asking that, Sam. So I immediately started getting the neighbors to practice coaching on and whatnot. And my parents were very loving, just like, very fortunate. Like you say, I'm not ready to go out and do any mass shooting because I had wonderful parents, a wonderful life. And they, so everything had to work around them. But my thought was, for my future, when I go back to my husband, I needed to be an entrepreneur. But I still wasn't sure about myself. I was still anxious about my abilities. And thank goodness, while I was with my parents, I had the support of my brother, who for a time, part of that time, he was in the same state, about an hour and a half away. And then he moved to California, but he was still there for me always. And just knowing that I had that other person for support, understanding we both wanted the same things for our parents. So that was a huge thing. But I knew when I came back home, I would need to, or I wanted to. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to create that coaching career. However, what I found was that, just like in myself, there is something missing. And I am not a psychologist. I didn't want to go through the psychology of it all. I just knew in my heart that it didn't have to be as hard. It simply did not have to be so hard. We could find a way to feel better more quickly so we could look at things and start looking at ourselves and take responsibility for ourselves and accept that at this moment in time, we're doing the best we can, even though it's clear we're not. So we have a choice. Do we want to really do what the best we can and enjoy life? Because my philosophy there is that we all have the same purpose in life. We're all put here on this earth to enjoy life, to be happy, to be free, to be prosperous. This is our purpose. And as a reformed people pleaser, and I have to admit, sometimes I sink back into that people pleasing upon occasion. But as a reformed people pleaser, it is freeing to be able to be yourself and be proud of yourself. Because if you are feeling it in your heart, and I had to use these techniques kind of to open up my heart, to allow the pain to come in so I could look at it and release it. Mm-hmm. And just recognize that everyone is human and everyone is divine. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have lost sight of that divine.
Yeah, in today's world, with all the craziness going on, it's easy to do that, isn't it?
Oh, my. Yes, I have gone down the tubes more than once. But the one thing that has always helped is, well, number one, we do have a choice. And to recognize that we are powerful. And whatever choice we make is one that we have to take responsibility for. With that said, we can also change that if we so desire. As you were reading your blog, the thing that popped up into my mind was Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd from in the 70s or 80s. Right, and it is true. If we start treating people with the respect that, not necessarily what they deserve, but treating people with respect, following the golden rule again, that's been popping in my head a lot. The golden rule is kind of been forgotten, and I don't know how many people even know about it now, but basically the golden rule is treat others as you would like to be treated. Mm-hmm. And if we want to be treated with respect, we need to give respect. If we want to be loved, we need to give love. Not only to others, but to ourselves. Feeling in, I was talking to somebody the other day who said that they just didn't feel that they could do any self-care. They had to care about everybody else. They couldn't care about themselves. But if you look at it, shift that perspective a little bit. When you change your perspective, you change your truth. And if you can change your perspective and open yourself to the possibility that self-care is self-love. And you can't really love others until you love yourself. So that is the learning journey, trying to open up and recognizing. When I started off, people would say, well, Karen, you're treating yourself like a victim. And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm no victim. I stand up for myself when I need to. The rest of the time, yeah, I don't necessarily stand up for myself, but it's okay. You do it in the right time. And when the time is right, I'll stand up for myself. And it, Sam, it took, probably 4 years. 4 years before all of a sudden I said, oh my gosh, I've been playing the victim. What have I been doing? I'm not a victim. I don't feel like a victim, but I sure have been playing the victim. It's been serving me real, real well.
I'm wondering, we just got a few minutes before the next break, if you can tell us about how did you come up with your heart energy technique, and what it's designed to really help people with.
Oh, thank you. Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. the heart energy techniques is nothing new. It's basically taking everything that I've learned along the way, all of the energy techniques, all of the EFT, NLP, hypnotherapy, energy, essential oils, and putting them together in a unique way that will serve the individual based on your unique needs. And that is something else I've always felt. You need to have a toolbox of things to really feel good. But it's nothing new. And the fact is, there is nothing new in this world. Even us talking on Zoom, this is nothing new. It's just somebody took iron ore out of the ground, created a computer through the years and the technology. Somebody was inspired. They came up with an idea. They followed through with it. And that's basically, I like to make my own things, my own unique ways. And there we go.
And what kind of results have you seen working with people with your heart energy technique?
I had a fellow who came in with anger issues due to a traumatic brain injury. And I said, I've never done, I don't even know what a traumatic brain injury is. I need your doctor's approval. And fine. And he came in and I said, well, we'll set up about 10 sessions. We'll do 10 sessions and of the heart energy techniques, and we'll see where it goes. And I'm not going to guarantee a thing, but we'll see where it goes. He said, Karen, you're my last resort. And by the way, I don't believe in anything that you're talking about. I don't believe in any of this stuff. I said, that's perfect. Don't believe in it. Just be aware and allow the A in Awesome Life Success. Be aware and allow, and we'll see where it goes. He came back to me on the fourth session and he said, Karen, I don't need this today. I am feeling so great. People are seeing such a huge difference in me at work. My anger issues are pretty much gone. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I only came in today because I want to know what you did to me. Well, you did the work. You did the work. We did the heart energy techniques, but you were open and allowing for change to happen. And so he got together with his wife. He kept his job, which he was on the verge of losing because of his anger issues. And he's now living a wonderful life in Florida. So it's very good. I also had somebody with TMJ. She kept biting her teeth at night. And we got that taken care of. She discovered that she hadn't gotten over some of her anger issues with an ex-husband. So very powerful stuff. And just the other day, somebody was doing a project. She's an executive producer and she does a lot of this stuff, but she's opening up her own school and she had to start advertising herself. So we did a quick 5-minute technique and she said, "Oh my gosh, I could do this. I can, this is so cool. No problem."
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, it's time for us to take our last break, believe it or not. Time flies when you're having such great conversations. So when we come back, I just want to talk a little bit about how to have an awesome life. Your podcast is called the Awesome Life Podcast. So I'm assuming that means you're an expert on having an awesome life. So
maybe certainly are, like Sam Leibowitz.
So let's maybe give our audience some little tips, you know, some little things about how they can have an awesome life, okay?
Sounds great.
Awesome. So please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Karen Stoltz, to wrap it all up and to let you know how to have an awesome life. Stay with us.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Okay, Karen, so tell us, I'm curious. First of all, why did you call your podcast the Awesome Life Podcast? And how do we, what can we do to have a more awesome life?
You know, awesome is a very overused word. And I like to feel awesome. Mm. And I think most people do want to feel awesome. So being the left brain analyst person that I am often, I thought, what does awesome really mean? And we have our definitions in the dictionary and whatnot. But I thought, how does that apply to our life? And I thought, okay, first of all, let's make it an acronym. All right. So the A is for awareness and allowing. And when we are allowing ourselves to be aware of what's going on around us, another word for this would be mindfulness. Mindful of what's going on around you, being aware. What are the circumstances? It used to drive me crazy, especially back with my folks. Again, one of the caregivers that we had come in while I took a break called me up and said, "Your mom just walked into the closet." And I said, "Huh, that doesn't sound right." I said, "Well, what was going on?" She said, "I don't know. I came down and I saw her in the closet." And I thought, okay, what there's something more going on here. What are the other things? She said, "No, your mom is just crazy." And that's all there is to it. So when I came back, I thought about it and I looked at the situation. And my mom got up in the middle of the night and she went to the closet. And she went into the closet because there's a light in the closet. And without the light in the closet, she couldn't see the thermostat on the other wall to turn up the heat because she was cold. Nothing wrong there. She wasn't just walking into the closet filled with, I mean, you couldn't, number one, the closet was so full. So looking at the big picture, what are the other possibilities? And then allowing those, because we are each unique and each doing the best we can. So we can allow them and accept them. We can reject them. We can just let it go, whatever. Then we also need to feel healthy and alive and feel well, both mentally and physically. And that's what the W is for wellness, both mental and physical. And that came in because I was sitting, I was in a kind of malaise of, I felt like I had a lobotomy. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sad. I wasn't anything. I was just flatline. Mm-hmm. And I used everything in my toolbox to get out of it. This was not my choice. Everything I tried, nothing was working. My husband came out to me. I can see it all now. I was sitting outside in nature trying to absorb that. It wasn't working. And my husband came out almost in tears and he said, "I wish there was something I could do for you." And I wish that was the case too, but I don't know what to do. And I thought, this is no way to live. Mm-hmm. Just flatline. You gotta have your ups and downs and happiness and mm-hmm. sadness. Anyway, I went in and I sat down and I said, I don't want to live this way. And all of a sudden, behind me, I heard a man's voice, and mind you, I'm sitting up against a wall, and I heard a man's voice and he said, "Grapefruit juice." And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "Grapefruit juice." And I thought, well, I have some grapefruit juice in the refrigerator for my friend's vodka and grapefruit. And I took a drink. I was back. I was fine. Everything changed. And I realized at that point, yes, nutrition has a lot to do with our wellness, both mental and physical. So wellness. And then our environment, who we surround ourselves with. Do we live in clutter? Do we live with negativity? Do we live with positivity? Do we live with joy? What and who do we surround ourselves with? And then right in the center of awesome is S for spirit. universe, God, goddess, whatever you call the overall energy of this world, spirit. And if we are aware and allow spirit to speak to us, it feels a whole lot better. And then organization, something I continuously work on. Organization just makes things a lot more calmer, more peaceful, because you know where things are. You know who you're dealing with. You know how to operate your radio show, you know. And then money, because in our world today, we have to operate with money. Money provides not only our security, which is imperative, our heat, clothes, food, roof over our head, but it also helps provide for our enjoyment. And money does not make you a worse person when you have a lot of it. Money just allows you to become a better person of who you are, because you can give more to others.
Yeah, I like to say money just makes you more of who you already are.
Yeah.
So if you're a kind person, you'll just be more kind. If you're a stingy person, you'll just be more stingy.
Exactly, exactly. And then the final E in awesome stands for enjoyment and fun. And in my world, enjoyment and fun are number one. So the A of allowing and awareness, and the E of enjoyment and fun, every minute of every day. If things are not enjoyable, if they're not fun, and heaven knows they aren't, all the time. Find a way so that you can feel better about it. Find if you're in a job that you're not happy with, that's okay.
Wonderful. Well, Karen, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. We're running out of time. I could
thank you
so much. Conversation
with
you all day. If our audience would like to learn more about you, learn more about the work that you offer, where can they go? How can they get in touch with you?
You know, I would love to talk to anybody who is curious about what they can do, and just come to karenstaltz.com/letstalk. And let's get on the calendar. There's no obligation for that. And see where you are. We find out where you are, where you want to go, and if I'm the right person for you, or come and connect on LinkedIn and Facebook, Karen J. Stultz.
And that's S-T-U-L-T-Z.
L-T-Z.
Wonderful, Karen. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Sam.
I think
Sam,
you're doing wonderful work, and I look forward to hearing more about it in the future.
Thank you so much, Sam. Really appreciate it. And I hope that you're feeling better. I know this is not easy either. So hopefully it was a little fun.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. Without you, there is no show. So I appreciate each and every one of you. If you got any value out of this show, please share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues. You know, help us spread the word so that more people can have access to this information. Thank you all for tuning in. We will speak to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.